And I still believe that these problems can be solved.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death!
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
This is The Political Show.
Hey, 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 and welcome to The Political Show right here on XFM, where radio has never been better. I'm your girl, Cynthia, but you know you can call me Gix. And with me in studio, we have...
Gavin Enslin.
Pastor Gavin Enslin. Right here
I keep hearing you saying, and Black Knight.
I was literally about to say, and. Because so I saw him this past
watching.
Weekend.
Where are you?
I saw him this past weekend.
Yeah, we must ask him where he is.
He must watch the show and see a shakeout.
Yeah, we send him a link.
Yeah. Anyways, right here on The Political Show, where Christ Politics is...
Hot Politics.
Hot Politics. And this week's Hot Politics, we are looking at the... Senzo Meyiwa. Yes, at the Senzo Meyiwa trial. But we're not focusing on what happened in the trial. We're focusing on the trial itself. Yes.
The conduct.
The conduct of the trial, what the judge has said and... why there is an uproar in terms of what he has said.
This is within South Africa, so there's a huge uproar around this trial. Now, just for those who are not in South Africa, the South African soccer team is known as Bafana Bafana. And up until about 2014, it was summer 2014, he was the South African national soccer team called Bafana Bafana's goalkeeper. And he had a girlfriend of a famous singer in South Africa called Kelly Kamalo. Now, he was married, so he shouldn't have had a girlfriend, you know what I'm saying? Not sure if your husband had a girlfriend, if you'd be okay. If it wasn't you. You know, if his girlfriend was you, I think you'd be okay. But if it's girlfriend, some...
I'm supposed to be the wife, not
no,
girlfriend.
But if he treats you like a girlfriend,
okay,
like you brand new.
Yes.
Yeah, you'd like that. But if he has another girlfriend and he's at the other girlfriend's house, I don't think he'd like it. But anyway, so he's there. But that doesn't justify what then happened. Some guys came in with pistols and shot him and killed him in her house. And anyway... then there were no charges until AfriForum, the organization many people call racist, okay, they come along with Gerry Nel, who was the chief prosecutor for Oscar Pistorius, and they start highlighting and taking to court and doing all sorts of stuff. They forced this issue to come to trial. They forced the accused to be arrested and to be charged, you know, and all of that sort of stuff. And so, finally, 8 years after Senzo Moye was murdered. And are we talking about the South African national soccer team's goalkeeper and captain? The goalkeeper and captain of one of the main teams in South Africa, which is a team called Orlando Pirates. We're not talking about just any old South African individual. We're talking about, well, I mean, the number one, the guy with the number one on his jersey for the South African soccer team.
Yeah.
He gets murdered. 2022, this is from 2014. 2022. The trial only starts. 3 years later, only this week they start the trial. And then what happens is, one of the advocates for two of the accused, because there's a number of accused in the murder of this goalkeeper, one of the advocates for two of the accused then decides, okay, he wants to run a famous marathon, an ultra marathon between Pietermaritzburg and Durban, yeah, in South Africa, called the Comrades Marathon. So he wants to run the Comrades Marathon. Apparently he runs it quite often. And so he sends a text to what's called the registrar, which is almost like the secretary of the court.
Yeah.
Although the secretary of the court can issue judicial orders. So that's quite a powerful position, stating that he's not available for court on the 9th of June, 2025, as he will be running the comrades the day before, and he will be driving back on the Monday. So the judge is very unhappy about this, and this whole incident ensues where he asks the other advocates, is this acceptable practice? And I was disgusted with the answers that all those advocates gave, because they completely and utterly showed contempt to Senzo Moye's family, to the South African justice system, to the law of South Africa. We operate under the rule of law, which means our law is our king.
Yeah.
So if you disrespected our king, you disrespected the entire nation. And none of them could even admit that the way this guy conducted himself was wrong. He should have petitioned the judge, like an official letter. He should have sat down with the other advocates well in advance. I'm sure he didn't just know last week that he was running the comments, because you would have trained from last year to run the comments.
And you have to register to run the comments.
And you have to register and the registrar, and you have to qualify. You have to run a marathon to qualify and all sorts of stuff like that. And none of them are prepared to admit that they're wrong. The judge then does a rant, and the rant caused a stink, and they've called him racist against black people, and he's a black judge.
So that is what we're going to be talking about. It's going to be hot, as always, right here on The Political Show, where Christ Politics is.
Hot politics. Hot
politics.
Stay updated, stay entertained with Active FM on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, LinkedIn, Spotify, Anchor, and everywhere else. Engage with us, like posts, comment, share them out, retweet, and repost. Spread the word. Active FM. Radio has never been better.
So we're looking at the whole issue with Advocate Mnisi. And
that's the guy. He's a fit guy.
Yes.
He ran the comrades.
Yes.
Around 90 kilometer run. If you can run 90 kilometers, you're fit. I'll give you that.
Yeah. So
I bet he has far more discipline in running than he does in court.
So that is what we're speaking about. We're looking at it, and we looked at two videos from Bonsai Shongwe, who was basically speaking on the situation, because it's quite a crazy situation to accuse someone of being racist that is the same race.
No, but that's typical in South Africa. Black people are called racist against black people.
But now if you obviously look at the media and see what people are saying and stuff, you'll think, oh, he's racist. Until you go and look at the videos and you're like, but wait.
Yeah, and you see the conduct of us. I mean,
if you are a working person.
Yeah, you freaked out because your boss won't let you get away with it.
Yes. So that we're going to be diving into some of the stuff that Bonsai Shongwe speaks about, and you'll be getting our thoughts.
Want to dive into some of those advocates like head first and headbutt them?
Yeah, so that is what we're going to be looking at. And he basically looks at five red flags, and that he speaks about in terms of what happened in the circumstance when the issue was being addressed. And then we're also then later going to look at the racist remarks. So the first thing that he mentions is the whole situation where Advocate Mnisi basically sent a text to the registrar saying that he's unable to attend the trial because he's running the marathon. And let's first look at that. The fact that he's informing, and he's not, you know, going through the correct channels of sending through the forms, signing in the forms and whatever, and he's going through via text. Firstly, it's via text to say that he won't be able to make it because he's running the marathon, and that Monday he is driving. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, I mean, I hate it when people say I won't be able, when you've actually decided. And it's like any job. I mean, if you have a job and you want to go and run a marathon or do whatever you want to do, you've got to apply for leave. And the leave is granted at a particular date based on management's discretion. And so on the day when sort of the trial's starting, and I mean, there's already a lot of pressure coming from the public because the trial's taken so long to start. And, you know, everything's been messed around. The National Prosecuting Authority, you know, all sorts of things have not happened. People are not happy about this. Okay, there's a level of anger in a lot of people in South Africa because of this. And then you just text the judge and you say, I'm unable to attend due to the fact that I'll be running the Comrades Marathon and I'll be driving back. Now, I'm sorry, the judge then goes and he asks the other advocates if that's acceptable practice. And you know, it's like they're all cover for him. And the thing is, at the end of the day, in the High Court in South Africa, a junior advocate earns 15,000 per day in court. Those guys are probably senior advocates. I mean, none of them are young guys.
Mm-mm.
And so you're talking probably 50,000 rand a day. And that's just for spending time in court. If you go into court You sit there for 5 minutes. One of the lawyers petitions for postponement, and the postponement is granted by the judge. It's 50,000. You pay that advocate 50,000, and that's not even to mention the cost, because they normally have teams of lawyers working with him to go and research laws and do all sorts of stuff like that. So just that is 50,000. Now you earn that amount of money. I'm sorry, you don't get to just choose that you're running the comrades if your trial's starting. You need to ask the judge for permission, and that is decorum.
Yeah.
So he was extremely disrespectful towards the judge and towards the law in doing that, and he earns a truckload of money to do this. Yet as far as I'm concerned, that's the kind of thing a 16, 17-year-old boy in high school would do.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I don't know. Maybe I'm a bit too strong on it, but that's how I feel.
And the judge basically says that he was disrespected in this regard.
Which means the nation was disrespected, because yes, the judge is representative of the law. And as I said, the law is our king. We operate under the rule of law.
Yeah.
So he's disrespected all of us.
Mm. So, and then the second part of it is then he decided, he went and asked his fellow colleagues in terms of whether or not they acknowledge it as disrespect or object to the informal communication. And instead of, they basically minimized or defended the whole situation. So your thoughts on that whole thing of them minimizing, them defending, I think you did mention, but if you just want to go a bit more brief into that.
Well, you know when you sit down, you've got a group of people and someone's done something wrong. Yeah. And then you know the authority, which in this case the judge was.
Yeah.
And so you ask another one of the people, you know, what do you think about the conduct of this person? And then either they don't know what they're talking about, or they don't see a problem with it, or they're not willing to comment on it. They want to stay out of this one.
Yeah.
So that is what I felt happened. And you know, he should have been called out. He should have been called out. And so as a result, then the response even adds the disrespect.
Yeah.
And it adds the frustration. I mean, I was frustrated watching the conduct of these guys. I was really frustrated with it.
Yeah.
And then, so then he starts saying, the first thing he says is, a white advocate would never do that to him.
Mm.
Now, is that racist? Or is that reality?
He's speaking from his reality. He's speaking from what he's
experienced.
Yeah.
Because white South Africans tend to follow the rules. That's in our culture. If there's rules in court, we follow them.
Yeah.
So, for example, when the whole vaccine came out, the majority of whites took the vaccine. Okay, I wasn't one of them. But anyway, just to mention, the majority of whites took the vaccine. And yet only 30% of the country did.
Mm.
So he's stating a fact there. And now, and then he starts talking about the black lawyers. So I suppose that's regrettable. But he's frustrated.
Mm.
And he's been disrespected.
Mm. Yeah. And the reason that it matters is because things like this set a legal precedent. And so basically when a senior lawyer fails to call out the breaches in due process, they create a precedent of tolerance. And if he had allowed this to happen, he would find himself in a situation where they were going to bring this specific situation up and say, you allowed that to happen through the person. And I think it would then cause a spiral of events that would happen. I guess their behavior was interpreted as prioritizing the solidarity with a black fellow black professional or comrade, as people basically say. And what they're saying here is that basically because you're black and because I'm black, we have a special kind of understanding, and it's upheld over legal ethics and stuff. And I think he was addressing that to show that that is not the case even in the legal system. Because if you look at our government, or if you look at how the communities work, is that because we are the same race, there are certain things we can get away with because we have a racial understanding and stuff. But when it comes to legalities and things that are of the law and stuff, there's no such thing as black, white, because you're my comrade, I will allow this and stuff. So that's the whole thing. And then it also shows the whole thing of accountability, how they're not holding their fellow colleague accountable, meaning that this might not be the first time he's ever done something like this, where he's gone through the wrong channels. Because if he's comfortable enough to do it in this case, it means that he's done it multiple times in cases that haven't been so big. And now in such a big case, he's comfortable enough to do something like that. Yeah, so what are your thoughts on...
Well, I mean, obviously, after that, there was a whole outcry about racism.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the solidarity of the other advocates, and they just standing up with someone who happens to have the same skin color as them.
Mm.
Why aren't we questioning that?
Yeah.
You know, would they have stood with a white advocate? And yeah. I doubt it. I think they would have had a lot to say if there was a white advocate involved there and he's choosing to run the comrades or not pitch on Monday when the trial starts.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is, I mean, at the end of the day, what about the family of the deceased, the one who was murdered?
Mm.
What about their desire for justice?
Mm. Yeah. So they don't think of that whole thing. And Pastor Gav spoke earlier in terms of the fees that come with having an advocate like that. And the fact that he can just willingly delay doesn't mean that the fees are not going to be paid. I'm just saying.
No, he's still
going to want to receive the fees. Now, the question is, why do you think it's been made such a big matter on the whole racial remarks that he made?
Yeah, I don't know. People are clouded. And I think it goes back, first of all, to the Marxist ideology of black versus white. But I mean, the second thing is, so someone says something about the color of your skin, now you fall apart.
Mm.
Like, isn't that weak?
Very.
You know, other people's family members are being murdered, and other people have got family members who committed suicide. Other people have got family members that are in the last throes of life because they got cancer.
Mm.
You know, and so I can go on. Other people just lost a child.
Mm.
You know? And you come now and you're talking about this. Other people don't have water. Mm. People are being smashed by crime. And that's all you're worried about.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd just like to say, you know, a lot of the people that are saying this stuff are wealthy.
Mm.
And so...
I think it's a smokescreen. I think we were having a discussion prior to this recording, and I think that they're trying to delay the case more, or they're trying to make the specific judge look incompetent or make him look like he's biased, so that, I don't know, they can get a different judge so that the trial can be prolonged. I'm not sure why, because this is 3 years after the trial started, and the trial started how many years? 6 years. 8 years.
No, well, the murder happened in 2014.
Yeah, and it only started in 2022, so that is...
That's 8 years after the murder. So, and now it's 2025, we're talking 11 years after the murder.
And the family still doesn't have closure.
No.
So, I really feel like goes beyond just...
Senzo Mayewa, if we're going to go now the whole race thing, he was a so-called black person.
Yeah.
So, his family are so-called black people.
Yeah.
So what about their rights? Now, in order to justify some rich fat cat lawyers... So now some other family now must be denied justice, you know?
Yeah.
That's honestly how I feel about this. And, you know, justice delayed is justice denied. That there's a saying that goes like, and in fact, that judge may even have mentioned it.
Mm.
And this is what has happened, yeah. And there's a lot of anger in South Africa over the justice system, because the South African justice system, I'd like to say, is actually an injustice system.
Mm.
It's an injustice in terms of how people are treated.
Yeah.
And, you know, what happens then. So, you know, for me, these guys, if you're going to get paid so much money, you must pull up your socks, eh? And you must be professional. And you shouldn't be doing stuff like this. And I would just like to, you know, people can maybe you can look up and go and look at the law. Maybe you can go on to Grok or ChatGPT or one of them and actually check under South African law. could a lawyer who's doing this kind of thing not be found in contempt of court?
Mm.
Which carries with it I think 3 to 6 months jail term.
Mm. Yeah, I also agree. I also think that, but obviously when we think of South Africa, we've done this show so many times. I feel like every time we speak about the law, we end up speaking about this, where, you know, all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others.
Yes.
Type of thing.
The animal farm story.
Yeah, that is the animal farm story. And I really feel like in this case, they will just brush it aside. And the fact that the judge had to also give out an apology in terms of his statements and stuff just shows that it might not change now. But I'm glad also, I will also say this, that I'm glad that it was a black judge that said what he said. Because I feel like it would have been blown way, way more out of proportion than it is being blown out of proportion now because it's a black judge. If it was a white judge, I promise you the case would be over. The judge would be replaced. There would be riots that would be happening.
They would have changed the constitution to allow the death penalty.
Julius Malema would have said a statement about the whole thing.
There would have been a lot of people with red berets at the judge's house.
Yeah. So the fact that it came, I'm sure there's one or two advocates that were there, or a few hundreds, hopefully, minimum hundreds of people who saw this and actually got to thinking like, sure, we actually do have that type of mindset and things like that. Because I don't think people would really think about it if it was a white judge. Unfortunately, that is the reality of
You know what you call in South Africa a white judge? Who would say the things this judge said.
What?
Stupid.
That's the problem.
If a white judge was saying this, I'd be going, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
Why are you doing this?
Yeah, so I really think that, personally for me, my final thoughts would be, I think that there is a political move to the uproar of the situation. I don't think it's that deep that people should feel touched by the fact that he said what he said and stuff. He was challenging the people in the court. He was challenging the fact that they went back doors and sent a text and didn't follow the correct processes. I don't think that he should have given out an apology because he was stating facts, he was stating the truth, and he was challenging that truth. And the sad reality is that we do have people in our nation who do not have, who have soft skin and just take everything personally and take everything about race when it's not about race. And I think a lot of us need to just analyze this whole situation from a perspective of what are the legal ethics, what is expected in court, and what would we expect our advocates to do in the situation if we're in a similar situation and stuff. And the judge was speaking out of his own personal experience. And if that is what his experience with white advocates, we should look at ourselves as, you know, non-white advocates and say, what should we fix? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think all non-white advocates are like it.
Yeah.
I just think this is a set of advocates that, I don't know what to say other than to insult them, and I don't want to insult them.
Mm.
Now, the thing is, I've just got a tweet here, and it says, AKA Advocate Harry Nell, AKA Bulldog, South Africa's go-to prosecutor for difficult and high-profile criminal cases, is hot on the trail of the perpetrators of the assassination of star Orlando Pirates FC and SA national team Bafana Bafana's goalkeeper Senzo Moye in 2014.
Mm.
So the first thing is, why has it been so hard to procure justice for such a high-profile South African?
Mm.
That just goes out the window. No one's offended by that. And I mean, it's not like that goalkeeper was white either. He was also black. So I mean, so that's number one. Number two, all right. What's wrong with the National Prosecuting Authority? The head of the National Prosecuting Authority in South Africa is the equivalent of the Attorney General in the United States. Number three, this raises serious and massive concerns around the criminal justice system in South Africa. And we've complained about the criminal justice system in South Africa on many, many occasions. Justice is reserved for the rich in this country. And I'm not even talking about people at the economic level of myself and Giggs. We are middle class civilians. We do not have the ability to go to court. That's too expensive. There's no ways we can go to court. And never mind now the poor. Never mind the guys living in shacks. They are finished. They are absolutely finished. They have no chance. Big corporates and that get away with murder because they know the people that they're ripping off, their customers that they're ripping off, cannot go to court. And I'm including the banks. Mm. The banks are ripping people off. People are having family murders membered. Family members murdered. Sorry, listen to me now. Family members murdered. Okay? And there's no justice.
Yeah.
All right? In my own family, on the in-law side, my mother-in-law was killed by a drunk driver. My brother-in-law was killed by people that were using a rope to tow one vehicle, towing another on a highway, which is illegal. In other words, both were cases of manslaughter. Justice was not done. The police did not do their job. The prosecutors did not do their job. And then there's even that, remember that case of that Indian couple from, the so-called Indian race couple from England that came here on honeymoon. And then the bride got murdered. And meantime, what came out was that the bridegroom had orchestrated and paid some guy's money to get her murdered. He brought her here to get bumped off because he knew in South Africa he can get his new bride murdered because he didn't want to actually marry her and get away with it. So remember, there was all extradition trial for that guy. And then after, I don't know how long we had this extradition trial. I think it took more than a year to get the guy extradited from the UK to South Africa. The court case goes for 2 or 3 days. And the judge ends up lambasting the prosecutor. And they threw the case out. Because the police and the prosecutor had not done their job. And with the Senzo Moyiwa trial, the so-called racist organization AfriForum, it's only because of them and because of Advocate Carrie Nell that this thing has even gone to court, that these guys have even been arrested. And that's a far bigger deal than throwing out some insults. And the last thing I want to say, what we're so weak and so sensitive, if someone says something bad to us and we just throw the desire of the entire nation to have a proper justice system that brings true justice to bear, we just throw that out the window. Just over some smokescreen, as you said.
Yeah. In Proverbs 24, verse 24 to 25, it says, "Whoever says to the wicked, 'You are in the right,' will be cursed by peoples, abhorred by nations. But those who rebuke the wicked will have delight, and a good blessing will come upon them."
And there's God's perspective on something like this. God's perspective on something like this is the fact that at the end of the day, He demands justice, and God demands justice for the poor. What I want to say, if you happen to be a legal person, and and looking at that whole situation, the reality is you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to make sure that justice prevails for every member of society, and that all people are equal before the law.
Yeah,
that is what the entire struggle against apartheid was all about. That was what the entire liberation battle was all about. I remember growing up, all the time, people were demanding equal treatment before the law, equal treatment before the law. And not only do we not have equal treatment before the law, as bad as it was then, I believe it's even worse now. And so the elites, they get away with murder literally because they can pay a fat load and a truckload of money in order to get off, crimes they've committed. And then I believe there are so many people on the lower economic scale of all race groups that go to jail for crimes they did not commit because they cannot afford a legal defense. Because it costs them between 15 and 50,000 rand per day just to be in the High Court. That's a far bigger issue than all of these stupid things that people are talking about. And when especially high profile black lawyers come in defense of these advocates, I'm just thinking, you guys, you're driving fancy cars, you're living in fancy houses, you far more you're far more wealthy than 95% of the people in South Africa. And yet you're arrogant enough to think that you're better than them, that you can conduct yourself any which way you want, and that people are just going to be happy with it. They're not. And so I'm telling the elites, and I don't care what race group you're from, you guys need to get your act in order. Because as far as I'm concerned, the majority of elites in South Africa, whether it be the legal elites, the political elites, or the business elites, or whatever elites there are, the media elites, you are living off the fat of the land at the expense of the majority.
Yeah.
You guys need to wake up, because that situation will not be able to continue forever. Just have a look at the French Revolution, you will come short. And that's just my warning. And the Lord also is watching. And so I don't believe he's pleased when the scales of justice are not set equally.
Yes.
Am I a bit too angry there?
No. You're saying just it exactly checking. As it is. This has been an amazing show. Let us know your thoughts and comment down below what your thoughts are on the whole situation. Are we over-exaggerating, or is everyone else over-exaggerating? Where do you stand? What are your thoughts? Could he have said it better? Could he have used other words? What are your thoughts on the whole situation? Just comment down below and let us know. I'm your girl Cynthia, but you know you can call me Gix. And with me in studio, we've had
Gavin Inslin.
Pastor Gavin Inslin, right here on The Political Show on Active FM, where radio has never been better and Christ politics is
hot politics.
We help distributors grow their sales by over 15% in the first 90 days with our automated mobile software solution. RapidTrade is used by over 16,000 users worldwide, and we process over 120,000 transactions per day on both iOS and Android. From app ordering and management to e-commerce and even van sales, or electronic proof of delivery, we've got your business covered. Call us for a demo on 011-493-9755 or email us at sales@rapidtrade.com. Go on. Make your customer a happy one today by getting onto RapidTrade.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.